Titus chapter 2, and we'll start reading in the beginning, but I want to pick up where we left off last time around verse 4. Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Paul writing this letter to a pastor, to Titus, a young minister, and he is telling Titus to speak things, to teach certain things that accompany sound doctrine, that adorn sound doctrine. He's not telling Titus to preach things that would turn into sound doctrine. The word become means to adorn or to point to, or draw attention to. Speak those things which adorn sound doctrine, that would draw attention to sound doctrine. And oftentimes when we see that kind of language, what is under consideration is how we conduct ourselves, our manner of life, our behavior, our manner of speech. Conversation is a word that is used in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, and it indicates our entire manner of life, not just what we say, what we speak. That's what's under consideration here. Paul telling Titus, you teach some things regarding our manner of life, the behavior, what we say, our characteristics, what stands out, what other people see. You teach those things which become sound doctrine. They adorn or point to sound doctrine. And here are some of the things that Paul tells Titus that he ought to be teaching, and the reasons. Some of the reasons why Paul says to Titus, you teach these things. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. You know, Father's Day is coming up in a few weeks, and we have fathers who are missing in action today, and it's almost an epidemic. Fathers who are missing in action, even fathers that might be in the home and in the family hadn't broken up or anything, but they're missing in action with regards to their responsibility, to the things that they are responsible for and accountable to God, to be teaching in their homes, to be the leader, to be the guide, to be the spiritual leader, to be the provider, to be setting the example for the rest of the family. I think that's why they may be listed first here. That the aged men, the mature men, the men who are not only older in age, but those who are older as far as maturity is concerned, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. We looked at that a little bit in the last couple of weeks. Verse 3 says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." We spent a little time on that verse, I think, last week. Certainly didn't get all of it out. The aged women, you more mature women, sisters, you have a great responsibility. You have a great responsibility to teach. To teach by word, to teach by example. And the next verse tells us one of the primary areas that you sisters are to be concerned about. Verse 4. "That they may teach the young women." That they may teach the young women. I think I mentioned last time that there are some things that young women need to be taught that I can't teach very well, especially from the pulpit. Some things that young ladies need to be taught that the best teacher of those things is their mother, perhaps their grandmother, or perhaps an older sister in the church. But some things are taught in a more comfortable setting, more comfortable manner, by you sisters, not by us men, and not by the pastor necessarily. I think it is my responsibility to lay the foundation in some areas, but then the details need to be worked out with mothers and grandmothers and sisters in the church. Sisters, you have this responsibility to teach, not only by word, but by example, to teach the young women. Teach the young women. Our young ladies are watching. They're watching the older ladies especially. They're watching and observing their mother and their grandmothers, others in the church. They're learning from them by their attitudes, by their manner of life, by the things they say, by the things they do. This is a very critical area. It's a very critical area. It is important, young men, it's important that you understand these things as well. And we're going to see that in just a moment. One of these days, young men, you're going to be looking for a young lady. And you're going to, or you may find a young lady without even actually looking. That's kind of what happened to me. Wasn't even looking, but God brings people together sometimes when we're not expecting it. Young men, you need to know what kind of young lady is going to be best suited for you as you're considering spending the rest of your life with her. So, just because this verse has everything to do with young women, young men, fathers, grandfathers, brethren, don't tune this out, because you need to know these things too. You can be the example by word and by deed for our young men in the church to be able to keep these things in mind. May not mean a whole lot to some of you young men right now, and that's probably right. That's probably where it should be. It needs to be put on hold, but you need to be learning these things. That they may teach the young women to be sober. To be sober. That simply means to maintain good, common, practical sense. To have a level head. It also means to be under control. Young women need to be taught to maintain a control over their minds and bodies. Young women, you need to be taught to be sober, to be sober, to be able to clearly think, to have, now, I can say this because I've got three. We have three girls, and I know how silly they can be. I know how silly they can be. They won't admit it, but I've been around some of you other young ladies enough to know that you can be pretty silly sometimes. And it's a joy, really, at times. It's funny. But there are times that the silliness needs to fade away. There are times that you need to be thinking seriously, thinking clearly, and not everything is not a joke, not everything is not fun and games, but everything can be a joy, and there's a big difference. Young ladies need to be taught to have a clear mind, to be able to think clearly, to maintain that control, not only over their minds, but also over their bodies. That should go without saying. Young women, you, young ladies, are in control of your body. Now, there's one of those areas where, like I said, I can lay the foundation, but there's some details need to be worked out with mothers and grandmothers and other aged women in the church. Those details can be worked out. But I can lay that foundation. Young ladies, you are in control of your body. Now, go one step further, though. Don't ever forget. You have been bought with a price. And actually, we're not our own. And the body is not our own in the sense we have control over it, in the sense that we can do what we want. We can maintain control over our bodies. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, I think it's the 6th chapter, that the body is for the Lord. So we're to glorify God, not only in our spirit, in our mind, but also in our bodies. Young women are to be taught by the older women to be sober. Then he says, to love their husbands, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. You would think that would go without saying. You would think that a wife would not have to be told to love their husbands. And actually, they don't have to be told to love their husbands. But our young women need to be taught how to show that love. How to love their husbands. It's interesting to me that you might not know this if you didn't search a little bit deeper. But it's interesting to me that the word love in this expression doesn't really have so much to do with the love that we normally think about between husbands and wives. But it has more to do with the love that you and I, all of us, might have as brothers and sisters in Christ. Or just as a close friend. That's an interesting thought to me. Husbands and wives ought to be not only husbands and wives, but they ought to be best friends. They ought to be best friends. Our young women need to be taught how to do that. How to show that kind of love. Love their husbands. Now I want to go back to the book of Proverbs and grab one or two Proverbs to go along with this. Proverbs chapter 18, if you'd like to turn over there. I just want one for now, or maybe two. Aged women, you're to be teaching your young women to love their husbands. I look out there and I think, as far as I can tell, and I'm hoping at least, that all of you young ladies in the audience right now are far from thinking about husbands. But here's some things you ought to be taught now. You ought to be taught now. As I said, you can kind of put on hold, but keep a hold of it. Here's some things that, and this is not a one-time teaching, obviously. Today is not the only time that you need to be taught in these things. These things are to be taught on a regular basis at home. They're to be taught, as we read over there in the book of Deuteronomy, they're to be taught when we're awake. They're to be taught when we lay down at night. They're to be taught when we're walking about our daily activities. These things are to be taught continually. In the 18th chapter of Proverbs, the proverb I want is verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Mothers, grandmothers, sisters, you have a responsibility to teach and to train these young women so that their future husbands can agree with this proverb. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. A good thing. Now, don't let that word thing throw you off. Don't misunderstand that. Our wives are not an object. But whoso findeth a wife findeth something good, valuable, precious. And he says, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. We're to teach our young women in such a way that that man she's going to marry one day, Lord willing, if that's in her future, that man can say, I have been favored of the Lord. I've been favored of the Lord. What an awesome responsibility you women, you sisters, have. Proverbs 31 is a very familiar passage, having quite a bit in there in this chapter 31 concerning a virtuous woman. And I just wanted to get a verse out of this that goes along with the one we just read. Verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Mothers, grandmothers, sisters, you have an awesome responsibility to teach these young women. To teach them in a manner so that one day that young man out there will find her to be a valuable and precious thing. That the relationship that he will have with her is a precious thing. Young men, you ought not to ever consider a young lady for any kind of relationship, for that matter, if you cannot find this kind of value in her. This kind of value. And this kind of value comes from being a godly woman. Young men, that's first and foremost. In your priority list, as you think about beginning a relationship of whatever level with a young lady, first and foremost, that highest priority characteristic is one of godliness, virtue. The aged women have a responsibility to teach our young women to love their husbands. Now, there's another, the next phrase there in the book of Titus says to love their children. And there's another one that you think, well, why should a mother be taught to love their children? And again, it's not so much saying to teach them to love, but how to love and to how to show that love. And let's get another proverb back there again in chapter 31. This time, verse 21. Thinking about teaching our young women to love their children. Verse 21 says that she, the virtuous woman, the godly mother, the godly wife, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Ladies, as you're teaching the younger ladies around you, whether they're your own or not, as you are teaching by word and by example, the younger ladies around you, here's a quality that they need to be able to see in you, that you are willing to sacrifice in order to provide for your children. One of the ways that you love your children. You provide for them. And you're not worried. Now, that doesn't mean you're not concerned, but you're not worried about how they're going to handle situations, whether it's the cold, whether it's the weather out there, whether it's from a physical standpoint or from on any other level, because you have been teaching them. You've been teaching them everything that you can possibly teach them in order to prepare them for life, so you're not afraid of the snow. You're not afraid of what appears to be maybe negative situations. You're not afraid of those obstacles. You're not afraid of the challenges. Doesn't mean you're not concerned, but you're not afraid of them because you've been providing for them. And that providing for your children requires a great deal of sacrifice. Amen? Would you agree with that? You who have been down this road already, who have older, grown daughters, and you've got grown granddaughters. You've been through this. You know that it requires sacrifice. Some of us in the early stages of raising a family, we don't quite realize how much sacrifice is required. And as that begins to hit us in the face, we're thinking, whoa, whoa, whoa! Now I wasn't expecting all of this. I'm not quite willing to sacrifice, to make the sacrifice that seems to be demanded of me. Oh, well, we need to be teaching our young women and young men that it is a sacrifice. Mothers, fathers, grandparents, all of you. Don't be afraid to share with your children, this is the sacrifice that we're making for you. Don't be afraid to show them that. Don't constantly remind them of that. Don't constantly remind them of that. After a while, they'll get tired of hearing it. But every so often, it's okay to remind your children, your mom and I, we're making a pretty significant sacrifice in order for you to be able to do this or to have that, whatever it might be. It's okay that they know. They may not see every penny that goes through your checkbook, but it's okay to let them know this is a sacrifice that we're willing to make. It's really required of us, but we're willing to make it. And they're learning so that when they come to that stage in life, yeah, I remember Mom and Dad making these kind of sacrifices, so that's what I can expect as I begin to raise my children. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. We're more than willing to give to our children. But there's a certain way we ought to give, and there's a certain way we ought not to give. Children don't deserve to be given everything on a silver platter. Children don't deserve that. Children deserve better than that. Children deserve to be taught what it means to earn something. Children need to be taught at a fairly early age. Yeah, that's up to you how early that age, how young of an age that might be. They need to be taught that nothing is free except for God's grace. God's grace is free, but nothing's free in this life. That everything requires some kind of sacrifice or some kind of price. Some is larger than others. Children need to be taught that at an early age. It's okay to give to our children. But it's not okay just to give them everything they want. Give them everything they need and provide a few things along the way that they do want, but not everything. We need to give. We need to show our children our love, yes, by giving to them. But here's another way that we show our love, and it's in Proverbs 19.